Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 50 now. And we read there in verse 1. Now, I went through this long discussion about showing that Babylon here in Jeremiah 50 is a picture of all the local congregations. We want to have that clearly in our mind as we go into this, because it'll help us see what this language is talking about. The word that Jehovah spake against Babylon, against the land of Chaldeans, by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare ye among the nations, and publish, and set up a standard. Remember the ensign that was put on the hill in Isaiah chapter 11? Who is the standard? Who is the ensign? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is he? What has to be declared? Publish, and conceal not. Babylon is taken. Bel is confounded. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. Now, Bel and Merodach are names for idols that were common in the land of Israel, in the land of Canaan in that day. Here it's saying that those gods are broken. Now, what does that have to do with the churches? Remember, we're talking about Babylon here. We're talking about the local congregations. Well, the fact is that the moment we hold anybody or anything in a higher authority than God himself, we're worshiping an idol. If you are finding that you can only get along with alcohol, when things get really tough, you need that glass of wine to get you through the rest of the day, you can rest assured that is your God. That is your idol. That if you find that, boy, I can't wait to get that cigarette because I'm just so shaky this morning, and I always do better after I drink a cup of coffee and smoke a cigarette, then you can rest assured, nicotine. You are a slave to nicotine. That is your idol. That is your God. That's where you put your trust in. And this is, where are the idols in the churches? And we've talked about this again and again. But the moment, and I despair when I think about it, because I came right out of the heartbeat of the churches. I've been in there all my life. And again, when a doctrine was advanced by some individual that was a little different than what we had been accustomed to, the first thing that they would do, the pastor would do, or the consistory would do, or whoever's concerned about this, how does that fit in with the catechism? How does that fit in with the Heidelberg Catechism or the Canons of Dort? What do you mean? What do you mean? Why are we checking with the catechism? Is that the authority? Yeah, that's the authority. But really, it shouldn't have been the authority. What is the authority? The Bible. How does that check with the Bible? And, you know, anything other than the Bible, if we put our trust there as that as being authoritative, then you have an idol. You have something that should not be. That's why in this business of teaching in family radio, I have to constantly say, look, don't trust me. Don't trust me. You trust the Bible. The authority is the Bible. It isn't family radio. It isn't what we talk about. It's what the Bible has to say. We can try to guide you into the Word. We can show you where to look in the Word. We can explain what we see in that. But it's between you and God and the Bible. This is the whole business of truth. That is the only one we are to worship. But here it's saying, declare ye among the nations, and let publish and conceal it not. Babylon is taken, Bel is confounded, Merodach is broken. Now notice it says, Babylon is taken. Where does that bring us to immediately? Where does that bring us to? Is Babylon taken at the end of the church age? No, it's in its splendor. It's in its splendor. It's begun. Babylon rules in the churches. They are Babylon. That's the king. That's where Satan rules. That's his he has authority over. But when it says Babylon is taken, it's looking at that awesome moment when the day of judgment begins. And that is what this chapter is talking about, the day when the day of judgment begins. But as it talks about this, it also brings in information that is corollary information about what has been going on during the Great Tribulation or going in preparation for this. But this is the big publishing, that we have to begin to publish that Judgment Day is here. It's right close at hand, and that the churches are going to be under judgment. It would be wonderful. Oh, it would be wonderful if we could talk about Judgment Day to the world. And oh my, get into a church someplace and really learn from them where the truth is, and so that will help you to prepare you for Judgment Day. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could teach that way? Man, we'd have friends everywhere. We'd have people coming around and putting their arms around us. Oh, we like you, what you are teaching. But isn't it horrible? Isn't it terrible? There's no pleasure in this at all. Judgment Day. And if you're still in a church, you're in trouble. You're in deep trouble, because the churches are ruled over by Satan. By Satan. And he is the one who is going to be destroyed. And everything that he rules over is going to be destroyed. And so as we are publishing, and the command here is publish, publish, publish. As we are telling the world that Judgment Day is coming, we have to include the fact, as painful as it is, because we all have our loved ones and our friends that are still an integral part of a congregation somewhere. We have pastor friends, we have, especially if we've been born and raised in the church for a long, long, and been there a long, long time. And yet we have to say, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You're going to be destroyed. We're on Judgment Day. You're in deep trouble. They look at you. Ugh, get out. Get out. We don't want to talk about that. We don't even want to talk to you. You've gone. You're crazy. You've lost it. You're in a cult. And so on and so on. Well, when did you become a false prophet, and so forth? But the fact is, this is what it's declaring. The command is, you have to command that Judgment Day is here. You know, it's an interesting, we've been looking in the last couple of weeks at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And it's a passage that normally we don't pay much attention to, because it is talking about the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, introducing the gospel to the philosophers of Athens in his day. And we're 1900 years afterwards, so what does that have to do with us? But when we look at it more carefully, we find that this is language that speaks directly to our day. It's already suggested in verse 25 of Acts 17. God is talking through the Apostle Paul to these philosophers on Mars Hill, or the Areopagus, where all the wise people were ready to listen to any kind of a strange idea. And he's saying that in verse 24, God hath made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth us to all life and